This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to John from the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 11. This is a portion of what is known as Jesus' farewell discourse in the Gospel of John. This happens a pre-resurrection, pre-crucifixion. Jesus has been talking to his disciples about what is coming up in their lives, in his life. He's telling them, here's what's going to happen to me, to you, and so he's giving them a little a preview of coming events. But in this part of the discourse that we share this morning, Jesus prays for his disciples and for all who follow Jesus. I share it with you this morning from the Message. When Jesus finished saying these things, he looked up to heaven and said, God, it's time. Display the bright splendor of your Son, so the Son in turn may show your bright splendor. You put him in charge of everything human, so he might give real and eternal life to all in his charge. And this is the real and eternal life, that they know you, the one and only God, and Jesus whom you sent. I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. And now, God, glorify me with your very own splendor, the very splendor I had in your presence before there was a world. I spelled out your character in detail to the people you gave me. They were yours in the first place. Then you gave them to me. And they have now done what you said. They know now beyond the shadow of a doubt that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them. And they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours, and yours mine. And my life is on display in them. For I'm no longer going to be visible in the world. They'll continue in the world while I return to you. Holy God, guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me, so they can be one heart and one mind, as we are one heart and one mind. Those who are able, please stand as we share together this affirmation of faith. We trust in God, the Creator who moved upon the face of the deep at the beginning of creation, who created all that is and who spoke through the prophets of old. We trust in Jesus, in whom God's Spirit was poured in fullness and in power, that the whole creation might be restored and unified, and who promised that the Spirit would come and fill the faithful with power to witness to the mighty love of God. We wait on that Spirit today with longing hearts, seeking to be empowered to witness to God's love with fresh words and courageous actions of love and hope. Glory be to God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen. Our focus scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts, the account of Jesus' ascension into heaven. As a result of what Jesus had said to them, as they gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of heaven at this time? Jesus replied, it isn't for you to know the times or seasons that God has set by God's own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood next to them. They said, "Galileans, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they had been staying. Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, Alphaeus' son, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, James' son. All were united in their devotion to prayer, along with some women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. It's a good thing that Jesus is much more loving and diplomatic than I am sometimes. In fact, most of the time. The disciples ask him, "You heard that in the piece that we just shared together. Well, is this it, Jesus? You're leaving now, right? So you're gonna restore the kingdom, right? Everything's gonna be okay." Then Jesus, calmly, I think, with love in his voice, I think, says, "Well, that's not for you to know." He could have said, I probably would have said, "Mind your own business. This is none of your business." But you can't blame the disciples, can you? In all this time, they've been with Jesus for about 3 years now, listening to him, seeing him teach, preach, do all the things, those Jesus things that Jesus did. And of course, it was a common belief at that time that the Messiah that would come was going to get rid of Rome, make everything right, turn everything around, and everything would be peaceful and just wonderful for the rest of time. And Jesus kept telling them, no, that isn't how it's going to work. I'm not that kind of Messiah. But still, the last time they see Jesus, they still want to know. They still think that's going to happen. And being the humans that the disciples were, they can't resist one more time. Well, maybe not one more time. It'll happen again. But they can't resist sticking their nose into God's business. Sometimes it's necessary to do that. Sometimes it's not. And Jesus makes it clear to them that, no, this isn't your business right now. We still can't, can we? We still stick our nose into other people's business, don't we? Sometimes we need to. Sometimes we're just nosy. Yeah, come on, admit it. We're nosy folks sometimes, aren't we? And there are more ways to be nosy, to stick our noses into other people's business than there have ever been before, right? Social media, Facebook, all those things. And we're pretty good at putting our business out there for people to stick their nose in too, aren't we? But it's a good thing, and Jesus would never do this, just say it's none of your business, and then up he goes and that's it, and leave him standing. Jesus says, this isn't your business, this is God's business, but here's your business. Here's what you need to stick your noses into, body, mind, and spirit, heart, and soul. You're going to get some power from this thing called the Holy Spirit. Your job is to use that power that you're going to get. It's coming soon. Wait here until you get it. That's next Sunday, that's Pentecost Sunday. Use that power in the way that I used that power while I was here with you. Use that power from God. I won't be here, but the power is still going to be here. Use that power to bring peace, to work for justice, to love the world and everybody in it. Use it to make sure everybody is treated fairly and equally. Use it to heal. Use it to build up people, not tear them down. Use it not just for others, but for yourself. Because you're going to go through some tough times too, and you're going to need that power to hang on, to deal with the stuff that comes your way, and it won't all be good. That's a lot of power. That's the power that Jesus leaves with his disciples and that Jesus leaves with us. That's the job of a disciple, then and now. And really, if we think about it and if we're honest with ourselves, that should be enough for us to deal with. That should be enough business for us to take care of. We'll let God do God's thing, and we'll do God's thing if with the power that we get, that God wants us to do. It may not seem throughout history, through the time that we live in, that that power is not doing much of any good for anybody. We get reminded of that daily in a myriad of ways. But we believe, we trust in this. We are told this. Jesus told us before he went into heaven. It still sticks to us now. It's still prevalent now. God's ways will prevail. God's realm will come. Little by little. We'd rather God hurry up with that. But it does come in increments. Sometimes too small to notice. Not in big ways, but in the small ways. That each and every one of us have the power to do. The disciples looked up for a moment in this story we shared this morning. Now, maybe a little longer in the moment. I wonder what they were thinking. You ever think about that? What were they thinking as they watched Jesus ascend into heaven? Nice trick, Jesus. You can come back down now. Wow, best miracle yet, huh? We don't know. But we do know this from this story this morning. With a little nudging from those two folk in white, they went back home. And they got back to work. They got down to their business that had been given to them to bring God's realm just a little bit closer than it was before. May we do that too. Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.